Sabbath greetings on January the 30th, the last Sabbath of the month of January. You know, as we all get older, we tend to reminisce a little more about the past. I think there are several reasons for that. When we're young, there's not much to reminisce about. As we get older, there's more to reminisce about and to remember the past. And I think the older we get, we think about our lives and what we did when we were younger. And that's true for all of us who are in our older years, past the halfway point of life. And, you know, Dad talks about the past quite a bit from time to time. His favorite psalm, I'm pretty sure it's his favorite, is Psalms 91 that he carried in his pocket when he was a fighter pilot during World War II, and that's very significant to him and to the whole family, because as we say, if God hadn't protected Dad from death, none of us children would have ever been born. So we all give God credit for that. I know that I do, and I know that my brother and sister do. And I hope the grandchildren do, too. So we think about those things. Dad also, there are certain stories that are more meaningful to him as he gets older. And he likes that little story I related when we were going through the apostles about the apostle John, how he had to be carried into church and that he was too old to preach. And, you know, in that sense, you know, when you're ordained a minister, you're ordained a minister for life. You don't, in one sense, you don't retire from the ministry. But in another sense, you do retire from being an active minister or an active preacher. There comes a time when you just can't take care of those responsibilities due to old age. And this was true with the Apostle John. He was an apostle, but he came to the point where he just physically could not preach anymore. And they would carry him into church, as I've told the story, and ask him if he had any words of advice before they had the church services. And he said, love your brothers and sisters. And they asked him after several weeks why he said the same thing. And he says, if you've done that, you've fulfilled the law. And we've talked about that before. I think that's one of the main lessons that John learned. John and his brother James were called the sons of thunder. And when remember when Jesus and his disciples were going to visit a certain city, I forget which one it was, and they didn't welcome them into their city, James and John said to Jesus, do you want us to call down fire out of heaven and burn them up? And Jesus said, no. So John learned the lesson that love, how important love was. And you see that from a spiritual point of view in the Gospel of John, how much different it is and about how it's about the love of God for us and Jesus for us. And we'll talk about that a little bit today. And you see that in his epistles, his three letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. You see how important love is. Dad was also, Dad has the complete Bible on tape, and he was listening to the book of Romans, and he, you know, it's good to listen to someone else read the Bible. Just read it, verse after verse after verse. It has a different type of an impact than when you read it yourself. And I enjoy listening to it when Dad has it on, and he was listening to the book of Romans and a couple of scriptures, you know, made a big impact on him before. I think they're like Romans, the 4th chapter, verses 6, 7, and 8. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered." Yeah, what a blessing that is, to know that our sins are forgiven, put in the past. As it says in Psalms 103, that's one of my favorite psalms, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." I looked that up in different translations. The Message Bible says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not keep score." If we are called and chosen, and we repent when we find out what our sins are, and we're humble and doing our best to obey God, we all know we sin every day. None of us is perfect. But if we are striving to obey God and repenting on a daily basis, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not keep score. God will not keep track of our sins. He'll wipe them out, put them in the past, and forgive them. The New Living Translation translates verse 8, "Blessed is the man to whose record the Lord has cleared of sin." Our record has been cleared of sin. The records are closed. They've been wiped out. They're not available to the public, so to speak. Nobody can go to God and remind him of all of our past sins, because God has forgiven them, wiped them out, erased them. And he doesn't keep track of our past sins. Completely forgiven. As Psalms 103 says, "As far as the east is from the west, he removes our sins." And, it's difficult for all of us as we get older. And I was reminded of the scripture and a little introduction here, sermonette type. I'd like to read 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Because we all face difficulties, our tests and trials, and our tests and trials vary depending on our circumstances and our age. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 7 through 10. I was reminded of this scripture. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels," breaking into the middle of a thought, "that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." What a blessing we have to have spiritual eyesight and spiritual hearing, to have the gospel of Jesus Christ in our hearts, so to speak, in earthen vessels. But as Paul goes on to say, then, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Yes, it's not an easy thing to be a Christian and to live in the end time age. Everybody is different. They think it's strange that we're so conservative and so religious, and they may or may not make fun of us depending on how well they know us and whether they're our friends or not. But, life is difficult. And we think of others. We think of what's happened to the apostles. Most of them were martyred. We think of Job and the trial that he went through. And in comparison to that, life isn't that hard. But life is not always easy. But as it says here, yes, life is difficult with tests and trials, but we're not discouraged. We're not about to give up. We have hope in our tests and trials. So I thought that was a good scripture to read. All right, now we'll move from that into the message for today. Let's begin by turning to Matthew, the 5th chapter. The Sermon on the Mount, as it's often referred to. This is one of the first real messages that Jesus preached, right? I think so. And it's recorded here for I'm sure he did some preaching before this, but this is like the first large message that he preached to the multitudes that's recorded in the Bible. Let's just pick up three verses. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And verse 48, be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. Yeah, I want to preach about the glory of the Father today and our relationship with Him. And my first thought was, well, God was not known as the Father in the Old Testament. He was only known as the Father in the New Testament. And that Jesus, you know, came and preached that, and that was something new. And then I looked it up, and I was wrong. There are about eight scriptures, there aren't that many, but there are eight scriptures in the Old Testament that refer to God as the Father of Israel. It's a more general sense, and it applies usually to being the father of the Israelites. And there are a couple of psalms that in general refer to God as our Father. And so, you know, when we read these scriptures here where Jesus is preaching about God is our Father, the multitudes or the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, they didn't get upset with Jesus preaching that God was our Father. This was not apparently, you know, a new concept to them. Jesus put a new emphasis on it, a much greater emphasis. I don't think, I didn't study into everything, but God in the New Testament is mainly referred to as our Father. That's about the only way He's referred to. He's referred to the Lord God, but it's always the Father. He's not referred to in the New Testament as Jehovah or Yahweh or the Ancient of Days. Or other the other names of God that are used in the Old Testament. The main name by far in the New Testament is God our Father, which is in heaven. And Jesus emphasized that and put a new emphasis on that as our relationship with Him. Now my scripture for the day is in Mark, the 14th chapter. In verse 36, I want to concentrate on this one phrase for the most part. Mark chapter 14. This is shortly before Jesus' crucifixion when he was praying to the Father that if it were possible to remove what he was going to have to go through. Mark, we'll just read this one verse, Mark 14 and verse 36. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Notice how he addresses God. He calls him Abba, Father. Now, what is the significance of that? Abba is an Aramaic word. It's not a Greek word, it's not a Hebrew word, it's an Aramaic word. You know, the New Testament is written in Greek. The word Father is, you know, the Greek word for Father. But then we have this word Abba. You know, Jesus didn't say Father, Father. You know, that wouldn't be logical or make sense. So why did Jesus use the Aramaic word for Father? Well, the Aramaic word was used more by children. It's similar to the word that we would use today would be daddy or papa, something like that. It's a term of affection of a child for their parent and their relationship with their parent. Of, you know, children are totally dependent upon their parents to take care of them. And they don't, you know, children don't use formal language in general. I'm sure there are exceptions. But children use simple terms to relate to their parents, in this case to their father. They don't go around calling their father Mr. or Father. You know, they call him Papa or Daddy. And so if we were to translate this, it would be more like saying, and Jesus said, Daddy, Father, expressing his endearment to God our Father, expressing this close relationship that Jesus had with God, you know, his Father, and the affection that Jesus had for the Father, and knowing that the Father was also his daddy, so to speak, or his papa. And you know, we can learn something from that. You know, we tend to think of God, our Father, I liken it sometimes to when we think of God sitting on his throne, we kind of think of God, our Father, like the Lincoln Monument in Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States. And here's a stone image of this stern image of President Lincoln. Sitting in a granite chair, just sitting there, staring out, you know, not moving. And I think sometimes we think of God our Father that way, because God our Father is so powerful, so magnificent, so far above us in glory, in power, in righteousness, in holiness, the sum total of light and righteousness, and rightly so, that we think that there's like a big gulf between God and us. You know, in one sense there is. There's a huge difference between God our Father and we as carnal, human, sinful beings. But on the other hand, we can have an extremely close relationship with God our Father. God, our Daddy, Father. He wants to have a close relationship with us. He wants us to have a close relationship with Him, just like Jesus Christ did. Let's turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, and verse 15. Romans, chapter 8, and verse 15. Here's one of my, Romans 8 is my favorite chapter, but verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You know, notice that. We are not in bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know, the Apostle Paul said we can talk to God and call him Abba, Father, or Daddy, Father, because we're not to have a relationship of fear. We should have a relationship of awe and respect toward God our Father, but we're not to quake in our boots, so to speak, out before God. Because God is a loving God. As the Apostle John said in 1 John, you know, perfect love casts out fear. And, you know, it says the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And why does Paul use the word here, adoption? The Greek word here for adoption refers to the full legal standing of an adopted male heir in Roman culture. If a Roman citizen did not have an heir, if he had no children or had all girls, I guess, he could legally adopt a male child and make him his legal heir. And this is the term that the Apostle Paul uses here. Now, why is that? Well, in comparison to Jesus Christ, you know, we are adopted, the adopted sons of God. We're not the born sons of God like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God the Father. Jesus Christ is the only one where God our Father took the spiritual essence of Jesus Christ and used it to impregnate a woman, Mary. And Jesus Christ is literally the Son of God our Father, conceived by God our Father. You and I, we're the children of God, and we are the sons of God, but in comparison to Jesus Christ, we're more like adopted sons with full legal status of a born son. But, you know, there is a difference. We will be born into the family of God. We will be the children of God. We will be the sons and daughters of God in the kingdom of God, in the family of God. But not quite like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, of course, is unique. But either way, just like Jesus Christ did, we can call God our Father, Abba Father, Daddy God, Daddy Father, and have that close personal relationship of a child in their love for their parent, their father. Romans, let's see, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And notice that we are joint heirs with Christ. This helps explain, you know, our relationship with Jesus Christ. We are brothers and sisters to Jesus Christ, and we will inherit all things with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. The other place where Abba Father is used is in the Galatians. Let's turn to the book of Galatians. It's only used three times in the New Testament. One time where Jesus was praying, as we read in Mark, and then the Apostle Paul uses it twice, once in Romans 8:15, and the other time in Galatians, the fourth chapter, in verse 6. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You know, back in verse 5, it says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's our relationship. And with that relationship, we can refer to our fathers as Daddy. Daddy, Father. Whereby you are, verse 7, whereby you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How unbelievable is that? We believe it. We do. We accept it in faith. We know it's true. But when we stop and think about it, how magnificent is that, that we can have that type of relationship with the great God, our Father. And we can have a close, personal relationship with God our Father. You know, God cares about His children, especially those that He's called. He cares about all His children, but there's a time order. And He's picked a few of His children to be in the first resurrection. And He has a closer relationship with them during their lifetime as He works with them so that they might enter the first resurrection. What a privilege that is. We are no longer slaves. We have been given full legal status as the sons of God. You know, some people can write and explain these things better than I can. Let me just read a little short paragraph here. In Scripture, there are many different names used to describe God. While all the names of God are important in many ways, the name Abba Father is one of the most significant names of God in understanding how He relates to people. The word Abba is an Aramaic word that would most closely be translated as Daddy. It was a common term that young children would use to address their fathers. It signifies the close, intimate relationship of a father to his child, as well as the childlike trust that a young child puts in his daddy. The specific definition of Abba is father, also used as a term of tender endearment by a beloved child in an affectionate, dependent relationship with their father, daddy, or papa. And as we've said, you know, we are not only the adopted sons of God with full legal status, we are the children of God, and Jesus Christ is our brother. Let's talk about that for a moment. We're going to talk about our relationship with God our Father and our relationship with Jesus Christ, how special those relationships are. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, the first chapter. John, the first chapter, verses 10 through 13. He was in the world, Jesus, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, the Jews, Israel, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. What a simple statement, and how magnificent and how powerful that is, that if we accept Jesus Christ and believe on him and obey his laws, his commandments, his doctrines, his teachings, we have the power to become the sons of God, to be born into his family. Here's a really beautiful scripture in Hebrews, the second chapter, on this topic. In a very emotional scripture from that point of view. Hebrews, the second chapter, in verse 11. Talking about Jesus Christ, verse 10, he became the captain. Well, let's read verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. You know, we'll talk about that more in a minute here. We can be one with God. How magnificent and meaningful is that? For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. What a beautiful statement by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call you and me his brothers. Isn't that magnificent? Isn't that meaningful? Jesus Christ, who died for us, who died for our sins, is not ashamed to be our brother. Oh, how beautiful that is. Back to Matthew, the 12th chapter. Matthew, chapter 12. Now, I really like that statement. Of course, Jesus is not ashamed to be my brother. I'm not ashamed to be his brother either. Neither are you. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 50. A general statement here, and this is when the crowds, Jesus' mother and brothers and sisters were trying to talk to him. And he was told this in verse 47, verse 48, but he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hands toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. That's the type of relationship we can have with Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8, verse 29. Romans. Back to the 8th chapter, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, God, referring to God, verse 28 says, all things work together for good to those that love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. It has to be both. You have to both love God and be called. It can't be one or the other. It has to be both for all things to work out together for good. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. When we are called and chosen, when we love God and are called according to His purpose, then we will be conformed to the image of His Son. We'll be just like Jesus, in that we will be a son of God in the kingdom. Jesus Christ was the firstborn among many brethren. You know, that means we'll be born into the kingdom like Jesus Christ was, through a resurrection. We can have the same relationship as a son of God our Father, Daddy Father, just like Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ, of course, will be always be the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ will always be our elder brother. Jesus Christ will always be the one who died for us. But we can have the relationship of a son of God our Father, Daddy Father. And back to verses 16 and 17, we read the 17, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." One scripture in Luke, and then we'll conclude in the book of John. Luke 15, you know, the parable of the prodigal son has great emotional meaning too. We won't read the whole parable here, but just read a couple verses. Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 20 through 23. This is when the prodigal son came back, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no more worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." And they had, you know, a celebration party. This is, you know, even though we are sinners, when we repent and go to God our Father and say, "Daddy Father, please accept me and forgive me." This is how God our Father feels toward us. He had great compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And we know his elder brother got a little upset because he didn't get a party. And let's read that, verses 31 and 32. "And he, the father, said unto him, the elder son, 'Son, you are ever with me, and all that I have is yours. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead, and he is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" Yet certainly it's better to obey God like the elder brother did. And if we do that, we'll have a greater reward. The younger brother, the prodigal son, gave up his reward, but he was still loved by the Father. He was still forgiven by the Father. The Father still loved him and welcomed him back. But he was not going to get a reward like his elder brother, who was an obedient son during his whole life. Let's conclude in the Gospel of John. Let's turn to John, the 17th chapter, and pick out a few verses. Jesus talks about, he wanted to, saying, "Welcome me back into your family in heaven and glorify me." Verse 9, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me, for they are yours." Let's see, I want some verses down here toward the... Okay, let's... verse 20. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words." The apostles wrote the New Testament, and through the words that we read that they wrote down, now we believe, just like the apostles did, who lived and were trained by Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. No, Jesus Christ wants us to be one with the Father, just like He, Jesus, is at one with the Father. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory that you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me as you have loved me. Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the world, before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. And I have declared unto them your name, and will declare it. And what is the name? Daddy, Father. That the love wherein you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. You know what wonderful words. That Jesus wants us to have the same relationship with our Daddy, Father, as He does. How magnificent, how wonderful that is. And the 20th chapter, after Jesus' resurrection, before he saw the disciples, as he was getting ready to ascend to God, to have his sacrifice accepted by God the Father in heaven above, notice the meaningful words that he says, in verse 17 of chapter 20. And Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Again, what meaningful, wonderful words. The relationship that we've reviewed today, the close personal relationship of a loving Son that God wants to have with us, and that Jesus is our brother. As we come to understand the true nature of God as revealed in the Bible, we should be amazed that He not only allows us, but He even encourages us to call Him Abba, Father. Yeah, we can use that term. We can use whatever you're comfortable with. Beloved Father. You know, Daddy, Father, that's okay, but I like Beloved Father or Dear Beloved Father. But just to call God our Father like that gives us a warm feeling and a better relationship as we talk to God in prayer. Abba, Father. It is amazing that a holy and righteous God who created and sustains all things, who is the only all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God, would allow sinful humans to call Him Daddy. As we come to understand who God really is and how sinful we are, the privilege of being able to call Him Abba Father will take on a whole new meaning for us to help us understand God's amazing grace. How amazing God's grace and forgiveness and love. And what a close personal relationship He desires to have with us. What a blessing to know that. What a blessing to look forward to that relationship that we can have now, but more so when we're born into the kingdom of God through a resurrection.